Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you
on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
It's Tony D here on the nighttime on Yahoo Sports Radio as we continue to look at the NBA playoffs and Monday night wild game with the Oklahoma City Thunder defeating the San Antonio Spurs to even up that series at a game apiece. Anthony Slater joins us from the Oklahoma to talk about the Thunder side of that playoff series here on Yahoo Sports Radio. How are you, Anthony?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. All right, so the game two. Let's go back to game one where Oklahoma City was pretty much thrashed and, you know, looked really beaten. But I've seen this in the playoffs before where you lose a game one, you sort of, nothing works, everything's got to go back, you just get out of there, and you come back and regroup. What were the adjustments that Oklahoma City made to get into game two and win game two?
Biggest thing was just energy. They just played like it wasn't a January game, in Minnesota, basically, which is how they played game one. I think that was the biggest thing. But then beyond that, they switched Kevin Durant off Kawhi Leonard, which I think kind of took that burden off of him that he goes 11-19 shooting. They put Andre Robertson on Kawhi Leonard. And Andre Robertson, who has severe offensive flaws that everyone knows about, is a really good perimeter defender. He held Kawhi Leonard in check. You know, I think Kawhi Leonard was something like 6-16 shooting or so, had a bad turnover late. I think that was important. And then, you know, I thought Billy Donovan really had him push the pace. And, you know, the Spurs missed a lot of shots, too, which I think is important for the Thunder, not only because, hey, the Spurs are missing more shots, but that allows Russell Westbrook to get out and transition on rebounds instead of having to take the ball out under the hoop. So a combination of all those things, I thought Steven Adams was huge. I thought he really outplayed Tim Duncan throughout the night. So just a combination of all that. And, you know, they came out with a win with a wild finish.
In terms of that finish, I mean, it was, how did you process that? Because I know I'm getting a lot of people saying, my God, I didn't even know what I saw, and the NBA's got a black eye on this for missed calls. How did you process the last 13 seconds?
It was crazy. It's weird in a sense where, like, there was five, you know, the NBA has admitted to 5 missed calls in the last 13 seconds, which is just a ridiculous amount. But at the same time, like, I don't think anyone was really, like, jobbed by it because Deion Waiters definitely throws that elbow, but before that, Manu Ginobili steps over the line, so that could have been called. The Waiters' elbow clearly should have been called, but at the same time, Waiters then throws it in, and he turns it over to the Spurs, who then have a 3-on-1 fast break the other way. So if you're the Spurs in that freeze frame moment, you want the fast break. You don't even want the Waiters' foul call that you're taking the ball out of bounds. Then the Spurs mess up the fast break. Steven Adams just blows it up, kind of guards 4 people at once. But then there was, you know, there weren't fouls called under the hoop. There weren't other fouls called up. It was just anarchy. But at the end of the day, I thought the Spurs just kind of messed up a golden opportunity, didn't finish a 3-on-1 break, and the Thunder escaped.
I want to go back to game one because, as I said earlier, you know, you watch playoffs a lot. You get these kind of games where a team's not going to fight back into it. They're just going to regroup and try to come back. But how did the Thunder handle the transition of a game one loss like that to getting back on track in game two? What was it like after the game?
I think there was concerns. There should have been concerns. I think the film room told them a lot, which, you know, you mentioned, yeah, if it's the third quarter and you're down 30, you kind of just, you don't play with that much energy. You regroup. But they were outscored 12-0 in fast break points in the first quarter by a Spurs team that averaged 10 fast break points this year, 4th worst in the league. You know, Kawhi Leonard was just getting rebounds, getting steals, and dribbling up the court, and people were just jogging back, and, you know, they were just kind of watching him going for layups, and that really got the Spurs going. So as much as it was the Spurs' night, it wasn't the Thunder's night, a lot of that, and I think they saw it in the film between days, they needed to realize was just, hey, you got to play hard. This is the playoffs. This is probably the biggest series in franchise history.
They wanted a big game from Serge Ibaka. They need more from Serge Ibaka. How did he play in game two?
If we're just looking at the offensive end, you know, he shot it pretty well, really all playoffs. But LaMarcus Aldridge is just roasting him right now. And I thought in game one that was some of Russell Westbrook's pick and pop coverage that wasn't good. And some of it was just Serge Ibaka letting Aldridge get too deep. Honestly, in game two, I didn't hate Ibaka coverage. I thought LaMarcus Aldridge is playing incredible at times. Ibaka had a really bad foul late in the game. He fouled Aldridge shooting a 3, gave him 3 big free throws, which, you know, that would have been a disaster if the Spurs ended up winning. They didn't. You need Ibaka to play better defensively. You can't have Aldridge going for 40 again.
Anthony Slater joins us, the Oklahoman on the Oklahoma City Thunder, who host Game 3 on Friday against San Antonio with the series knotted up at 1. Everyone wants to take the temperature of Kevin Durant. Everyone wants to know about what, you know, how this series is going to be, what this series could mean for him. What is the temperature of Kevin Durant in with the Oklahoma City Thunder?
I think fine. I mean, I don't think there's any internal issues. You know, some people made a little bit of him and Russ kind of arguing during the fourth quarter of the other night. That's an everyday thing. That's just basketball. I think he needs to play better right now for this team. You know, he was a little sloppy, 5 turnovers in game 2. I truly don't think he's thinking about free agency because, the fact is, like, let's say the Spurs end up winning this series and closing it out. I mean, they'll close it out on, let's say, May 12th or May 14th. Kevin Durant has a month and a half before he can even meet with teams, and he's not worried about, you know, what teams are going to offer him. Every team in the NBA will give him a max contract tomorrow, so he doesn't need to worry. Like, he knows he can just worry about that come July 1st. He needs to worry about trying to win his first title now, and I do think he's concerned with that. Now, he still needs to play better.
There was a kind of a conversation that people were having before this series, especially after game one, that if this series is just a Spur blowout, they win in 4 or 5, that becomes a referendum on the Oklahoma City Thunder and their ability to win a championship, and that could play a factor. Do you think this series and the way it plays out has that level of influence on where Kevin Durant may or may not go?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's going to look at it moving forward and, you know, where is the best place to win? And the thing, like, let's say the Spurs win this in 5 or 6 and are clearly the better team. You know, Golden State's obviously an option that people floated out. Sure, that would seem to have a better future, but does he really want to latch on there? Does he want to go to San Antonio? Do you think at 28 he'd really go to the team that just beat him? Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't really see that as a move, but, you know, I can't say for sure on that. And then other than that, I'm not sure there's another team out there right now that gives him a better chance to win, because the truth of it is Kevin Durant didn't play that good yesterday. But guess what? Russell Westbrook is a top 5, top 6 player in the world, was great yesterday. Steven Adams is 22 years old. I mean, I may be exaggerating a little bit, but like, he might be a top 5, top 7 center soon. I mean, he's becoming that level of player. Serge Ibaka, good impact player. They got young guys lining up behind it. With Enes Kanter's 23, Dion Waiters 24. I know they have flaws, but I'm not sure you can find a better roster that's not San Antonio or Golden State out there that would help him win a title. But I do think he'll look at that in free agency.
Anthony, is he as surly to the media as sometimes he appears to be nationally?
Kevin?
Yeah.
Or Russ?
Kevin Durant.
You know, it's weird. Yes, but at the same time, he's also very, very pleasant 80% of the time. So, you know, I think he's getting a little bit more surly as the pressure's ramping up right now. But then, he'll say stuff like, I'm not telling you my emotions. But then the next day, you'll ask him a question, and he'll be like, I'm not telling you. Haha, like, that was a good joke that I had yesterday. And then, you know, he'll chat with you a little bit after. Like, at his core, he's really a genuinely nice guy. But at times, I don't know if it's Russ kind of rubbing off on him, and he sees that. And sometimes, you know, he has the KD is not nice campaign. It's very hit and miss with him. But like I said, in general, he's a pretty pleasant guy to deal with as a guy that covers his team, you know, 180 days a year.
Billy Donovan certainly knows how to coach basketball. We saw him on the college level, but the NBA is kind of a different animal. How has he done this year? How's he adjusted to the NBA game?
You know, I think overall their offense is better. It moves smoother. They have better out-of-bounds plays. You know, Russ's assists are way up. He's done some good things, but at the same time, we'll see if he's really ready for this playoff environment. I think, you know, like you saw last night, he didn't have a timeout late in the game. I don't know if he can make the in-game adjustments that Greg Popovich, those types of coaches can make. And that's not really a knock on Billy as much as it's like, there's like 2 or 3 or 4 really, really elite coaches in the world in the NBA that are super experienced. And he faced Rick Carlisle in round 1, Greg Popovich in round 2. This is really tough for him. I think he's doing some good things. I think he's got a bright future as a head coach, but, you know, I don't know. Year 1, especially in the playoffs, may be a little tough for him.
Anthony Slater, the Oklahoman on the Oklahoma City Thunder and the San Antonio Spurs. I can't believe we got to wait till Friday for Game 3. Thank you so much.
Yeah, no problem. I'm with you on that one.
All right, again, Anthony Slater from the Oklahoman. 800-777-2907 is the number. Also, hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio. Your thoughts on the NBA playoffs. The Golden State Warriors, should they start Steph Curry at all in this game series against Portland? That's next. Yahoo Sports Radio.